I'm in Mahwah, New Jersey at the campus of Ramapo College.
This is Margot Smith from the Berkeley Gray Panthers calling from the federal building at Oakland, California.
My name is Kwa Wa'adabi, and I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts.
Saddam Hussein was our guy until he took more of Kuwait than April Glaspie said he could take.
This is Pacifica's Peace Watch for Tuesday, December 10th, 2002, International Human Rights Day. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Confronted with an 11,807-page declaration that Iraq is not in possession of weapons of mass destruction, the Bush administration is trying to decide whether to use armed force against Iraq soon or allow United Nations inspections to continue their work for another 2 or 3 months. Some analysts warn that the inspections were nothing more than a shell game orchestrated by Saddam Hussein, who has made a long habit of frustrating UN weapons inspectors, they say. Critics of U.S. policy say that if the White House had intelligence showing Iraq was engaged in banned weapons programs, it would have made the specifics public long ago in a bid to build international support. Critics and supporters of U.S. policy agreed that Hussein's cooperation with U.N. inspectors is making it harder for the United States to build international support for a possible invasion of Iraq. The lack of broad support could affect the timing of a possible war and determine whether the United States goes in at the head of a broad coalition like the one gathered for the 1991 Persian Gulf War or with a smaller coalition of the willing. Francis Boyle, professor of international law at the University of Illinois College of Law in Champaign, says the U.S. is jeopardizing the process by confiscating reports from the U.N. over the weekend.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that they did this right away because I am sure they wanted to cover up all of the assistance given by the United States government and our NATO allies and our Arab allies to Saddam Hussein, starting with the Jimmy Carter administration, although that was brief, but especially under Reagan and Bush Sr. For 12 years, Saddam Hussein, you know, was our guy until he took more of Kuwait than April Glaspie said he could take. It's well known that these chemical weapons were obtained in Europe from NATO allies. The biological weapons were given to him by the Reagan administration. There were at least 40 shipments, authorized shipments of weapon-specific biological agents licensed by the Reagan administration to Saddam Hussein from the American Type Culture Collection, and now we find out the Center for Disease Control. Knowing full well he was going to weaponize these agents and use them against Iran.
So it sounds like you're saying that this information is going to be contained in that 12,000-page document that came from Baghdad. And it also sounds as though you're saying that there's some possibility that the U.S. may be attempting to cover up that?
I'm sure they're doing this right now, and that is why they made the grab right away to get this out of the control of Hans Blix. Right. Right now, I'm sure they are purging these documents of any information that could compromise Reagan and Bush Sr., as well as our so-called NATO allies in Europe, such as Germany and others, that provided elements for Saddam Hussein's chemical weapons program.
So how would the rest of the world know if they are somehow mishandling these documents and tainting the process?
Well, of course, we know because they stole them basically from Hans Blix. This violated every known principle of independence that is supposed to apply to the operations of UNMOVIC. They just went in there, ordered the ambassador from Colombia, who, you know, they're getting $1.5 billion from us, to tell Blix to turn the documents over. So it's very clear from these procedural irregularities what's going on. Indeed, the understanding as of last Friday on the Security Council was that first they were to be purged of sensitive information and then turned over to all the members of the Security Council.
And so Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell, it's been reported, apparently somehow maneuvered these documents out of the hands of the UN.
Well, again, it's very clear they, the president of the Security Council, who's from Colombia, who's completely dependent upon us for staying in power now, ordered Hans Blix to turn them over, and Blix caved in. Remember Blix's little trip there to the White House to get a pat on the head from President Bush. It's pretty clear he's been taking orders from the United States government all along. So I'm sure what we're going to see is just a massive cover-up and purging of any evidence that could possibly compromise the Reagan-Bush senior administrations, as well as U.S. allies that armed, equipped, and supplied Saddam Hussein.
Well, why would the allies, France, Britain, Russia, and China, why would these other four countries agree to allowing the U.S. to handle these? Or is
there was no agreement. We just, indeed, the agreement as of Friday was that they would be purged first by Hans Blix and then turned over to the members of the Security Council.
Well, why aren't they objecting?
Well, the United States is the 800-pound gorilla of international relations. So what are they going to do? The dirty deed has already been done. Second, some of them are implicated themselves in supporting Saddam Hussein and European corporations and businesses. Again, starting very late, since Jimmy Carter got the so-called Kissinger War Prize today, the tilt for Iraq, towards Iraq in support of Saddam Hussein started with Carter. But then it accelerated with Reagan and Bush Sr., and we lined up all our NATO allies to arm, equip, and supply Saddam Hussein so long as he was destroying Iran. And we also lined up the Gulf states to finance the war.
Francis Boyle, professor of international law at the University of Illinois. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter has warned of the potentially catastrophic consequences of a preemptive U.S. war in Iraq. His comments came in Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech in Oslo.
War may sometimes be a necessary evil, but no matter how necessary, it is always evil. Never a good. We will not learn how to live together in peace by killing each other's children.
Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. It's been over half a century since the United Nations adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on December 10, 1948. Today, thousands of people from across the country have chosen to observe International Human Rights Day by calling for peace and protesting against a possible war in Iraq. More than 100 communities in more than 15 states are rallying, holding teach-ins, sit-ins, and die-ins from North Carolina to Alaska to say peace and human rights go hand in hand. Peace Watch's coverage begins at the United Nations in New York with WBAI Peace Watch producer Robert Knight.
Underneath the winds of Hamashiach Plaza, across from the United Nations and around the corner from the U.S. mission to the UN, where further sanctions and possible attacks of Iraq are being contemplated, a coalition of religious leaders and hundreds of citizens gathered, among them Mary Knoll missionaries, Pax Christi, Ursuline Sisters, Peace Action of New York, and many others.
They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
They gathered here to call for peace in Iraq, to call for food supplies, and to commit civil disobedience against the moves toward war in the United States.
My name is Dr. Faz Khan. I was actually asked to say a few words about myself by one of the organizers of the event. I'll be reciting the opening prayer from the Quran, but just to let you know, I happen to be a medical doctor who practices emergency medicine. I happen to be Muslim. I happen to be part Afghani. And I happen to have been on duty in the emergency room on September 11th and was at Ground Zero shortly thereafter to help in the resuscitation. So I've kind of been in the hot seat trying to explain things back and forth between two civilizations that have a lot of need of understanding each other. Now I'll recite it for you in Arabic. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
One by one, the speakers from various traditions, including Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism, called out the sacred rights they believe everyone to have: the right to food, the right to safety, the right to work, the right to peace, the right to medicine, the right to privacy, and many more. They gathered food and then proceeded to their civil disobedience.
We're not here in anger so much as in sorrow. We're here as human beings who see that we're the flesh of each other's flesh, that we belong to each other. And so we say on this Human Rights Day, the most sacred right is the right to live in peace. Amen. It's a simple and unambiguous statement. We wish we didn't have to be here today, but we're here for reasons clearly of conscience and of passion for life. We're here from many faiths. We're here from many parts of the country, many of us from New York. We love our country dearly. Our prayer for our country is that she will live up to her ideals and that war, the terrible scourge of war, will never, ever be brought into anyone's life or anyone's country in a way that is unprovoked and in a way that does not honor the human spirit. I'm Peter Larman. I'm the senior minister of the Judson Memorial Church in New York City. Next to me is the Reverend Herbert Dautry. He's the senior minister of the House of the Lord Pentecostal Church and a longtime fighter for freedom.
Reverend Dautry,
yes.
Where are you here today?
Well, I want to be with the people who want peace. And if it's spending an hour, 2 hours, days, or whatever, I want to be with the peace lovers, not with the war makers. I believe that this war is going to result in innumerable people being killed, maimed, hurt, and I don't think it's necessary. I would that the president would devote as much time and energy trying to find a way to end disease and end poverty and bring peace to the world. So I want to be on the side, I think, the right side of history, which is to be for peace. This is where King stood, and I stood with him at Riverside Church, and I want my grandchildren to know that whatever come, I was on the side of peace.
Why are you here today, Paul Mayer?
Well, I'm here today because I had to be here, because the time has come for the religious community to be out in front. You know, like Dr. King used to say, time for the religious community to be a headlight instead of its taillight. And I think the time has, and I really see a shift. I think the churches have made, and the religious denominational groups have made, come out very early, even the Catholic Church, and I'm usually not an advocate of my own bishops, but much to my surprise and joy, they have made a very strong statement against this insane and inhuman war in Iraq. And I think something exciting is happening here. It gives me hope.
Down by the riverside.
In New York City!
Down by the riverside.
I'm gonna lay down
my sword and shield.
Yes!
Down by the riverside.
And study.
War no more.
Sing it now, eh?
At noon, many hundreds of people gathered in Farragut Square to hear speeches from community religious leaders and national figures, all united in one message that they object to a war on Iraq. The peaceful event was led by local religious groups and older Americans with experiences in past wars who wished to share their wisdom with the peace movement and the generations to come. After the rally, they marched to Lafayette Park, getting as close as police would allow them to deliver their message that there is not unanimous support for a war.
We're finding out here, as many of us know, the major religions, in spite of the fact that President Bush says that this is a moral war that he is leading us into, the major religions down the line in this country disagree with him. One quote that many of you might have heard comes from President Bush's own denomination. The General Board of the United Methodist Church says, quote, "It is inconceivable that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the Prince of Peace would support this proposed attack." And I think that he is speaking for all of the major religions in this country and around the world.
I'm Ralph Petersberger. I'm from Washington, D.C. I'm here because I'm worried about this administration's doctrine of preemption that suggests that when we think it is important to go against a nation, we can act without provocation. I think this will come to the detriment of all humanity in years to come, and I think the first act of that has to be stopped.
Could you read us your sign here and then tell us what it means?
Sign says Veteran for Peace. I happen to be an Air Force veteran that served in the 1950s, and I think it's important for people who have military experience, unlike our president, unlike our vice president, to speak out for peace.
Stephanie Fagan Hemelings, Alexandria, Virginia. And since the 60s, I've agitated for peace movements, and I'm totally against going to war in Iraq. I don't see any gains from it, and it's the ordinary people who will pay the price. The civilians who are attacked, and I think it's the same thing here. The families of the men who would have to go, and not the politicians. The politicians never pay the price, except hopefully at the ballot box.
I'm Len Funk. I'm a resident of Arlington, Virginia. I'm a Vietnam veteran, combat tours with the Army. And I'm here because I am totally against the war on Iraq.
We presented a document to our representative, Peter Hoekstra, with 115 signatures on it, inviting him to repudiate his pro-war resolution vote of, I think it was early October. And we invited him to do this in the name of promoting human rights, especially in Iraq. We had 32 people there today, and that was a noon to 1 p.m. rally or vigil in front of his office. I think that was a good number, especially for this town. Holland in West Michigan here is a rather conservative area. We just held signs and invited people to honk as they went by. It's quite a busy street that his office is on, so we got quite a few horn honks in support. You know, I think a couple of years ago, we would have had maybe three people doing something like this. So I think that gives us an idea of how far the anti-war sentiment reaches, especially in Holland, Michigan now. I don't believe a Democrat has ever been elected to office here, but to office in this area. I think it goes back to the 1850s, a long time. It's a very religious community, always has been. I think people are still reluctant to come out publicly against the war, even from a Christian value standpoint. But we get our share of people who are fervently pro-war. People stopping, say one guy stopped in the middle of the street and shouted at us that the only reason we were able to do what we were doing is because of past wars.
Mm-hmm. And you shouted back.
And we said, "Have a nice day."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, basically, we don't understand that how killing other people in distant lands makes us able to stand out on the side of the street and voice our opinions.
My name is Ricky Bridges. Did a protest this morning with United for Peace.
What exactly was involved in the protest?
Just basically We were at a busy intersection on the university's campus, had some signs with some literature.
How many people were out there with you holding out signs?
10 or so.
So, and did you get a good response?
Not really.
Not really.
No. Well, a lot of negative responses.
What do you mean by negative response?
Lots of name-calling, people throwing down the literature. And we're down in Louisiana. A lot of people don't take kindly to the views that that we share.
What exactly was in the literature and the signs that you had? What was the message you were trying to get out?
Just to promote peace, and that war is not a way to do that.
And Louisiana is a state that isn't really into that sort of message, is what you're saying?
Correct. We're in a small town, roughly 45,000 people, mainly blue-collar workers, and it's just not a big place to be spreading this message, it feels like.
So what prompted you to want to go out and protest today?
The fact that maybe one person can make the difference. Peace begins within ourselves. And I'd read an article in the Washington Post a couple of weeks back and just thought that this was something that my wife and I could do to try and spread a message of peace. I think we've become complacent with our leadership, and I believe the American public is being deceived.
This is Margo Smith from the Berkeley Gray Panthers calling from the Federal Building at Oakland, California, where we have a rally of about 350 people out here in this nice day in California. And we have a wonderful set of speakers. Wilson Riles is the MC, and we have Max playing the guitar, and there's a lot of puppetry here, signs and puppetry, a great big tanker that says No Blood for Oil, and we have all sorts of banners and flyers, and the press is here. We have the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Oakland Tribune, the San Francisco Chronicle, KGO. The press is covering this very heavily, and we're very pleased with the turnout, which is on a work week day on International Human Rights Day, December 10th.
Thank you, Margot. And when you say there's puppetry, can you describe some of the puppets for us?
Yes, there are huge heads, and they say on them, no war. And no war in Iraq. They're heads of people, and there are flowers on them. And then in the plaza, we have about 200 small coffins representing Iraqi children that have died since the sanctions. And it's a very, very colorful display.
My name is Kwa Wa'adabi, and I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. And I live in Jamaica Plain, which is a part of Boston. And we've come together today. This is a people of color-led event, mostly by Latinos, because of our, you know, our dissatisfaction with the peace and justice movement, which sort of leaves out people of color. And so this has been organized by Haymarket People's Fund and an organization called City Life Vida Urbana. We decided to come together to make a statement on December 10th because of the signing of the Declaration of Human Rights by the UN to show our support for the people of Iraq and against all U.S. wars. We have a number of different speakers. This is a bilingual event, so everything that's being spoken is being translated into Spanish. In Jamaica Plain, it's a population, a very mixed population of Latinos, African-Americans, and people with European-American ancestry. And so this, because this event is Latino-led, everything is in both languages. So we have speakers from different areas of Boston addressing the issue of Bush trying to build a war against Iraq. And we also have puppets, street puppets, to represent the destruction of life. So there's like paper mache machine guns and puppets that look like people that are afraid. They're very large puppets. And there's a big black machine gun that's made out of paper mache. And it's kind of, it's like shooting down at these puppets, people that, the puppets are people that are covering their heads and faces and hiding. And a big sign that says collateral damage, which means the damage to innocent people's lives. I would say that there's probably about 50 people here, and we're expecting about 100.
Mm-hmm.
The events have just started, and we're going to be going on until about 5:30. It's really important that people of color, their voices are heard, and that we really are standing up strong against the war.
I'm in Mahwah, New Jersey, at the campus of Ramapo College. Listen. No! We have an anti-war rally slash speak out, some student speakers, we have some community member speakers, We have members from Moffett University who came out to support us. We have people from Bergen Community College who are here supporting us. And we have our group on campus, Resist, here supporting us.
So I'm assuming these are mostly student organizers on various campuses.
Yeah, mostly the student organizers from some of the local campuses come out, but then also some of the normal folks, so it's good.
How many people are in attendance?
We got about, actually, 65 right now, and you don't know how happy I am about that. I'm so worried it's just going to be me and my science. For Ramphill College, it's amazing that we have 65 people because the campus is very apathetic. They don't like to get involved. They don't like to worry about anything that doesn't directly affect them. And we're here to tell them this does directly affect them, and they need to get involved. That's why we're here. That's our main reason, pretty much, to educate the campus.
What kind of outreach did you do for this day?
We flyered our flyering boards. We did flyering of the dorms. We did some chalking. We're allowed to chalk on campuses. We did that. We flooded the local listservs, and everyone emailed all their friends and talked it up in classes and had the professors tell their students and so on. Did some flyering at the Peace Action Peace Train in Newark this weekend.
And has there been much pro-war sentiment on the campus there?
We have a Young Republicans Club, but there haven't been any, like, pro-war demonstrations yet. We get a lot of clandestine comments, like, people will approach you in the hall and be like, you really shouldn't be doing what you're doing, as in, like, the war is a necessary thing, and nothing outright.
Can we hear some of the chants? Can you hold your phone up?
Hold on a second. Wait, they want chants!
Drop Bush!
Not Bush!
Drop Bush!
Not Bush!
Thank you for those chants. Reports from the United Nations, Washington, D.C., Michigan, Louisiana, California, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. Anti-war protests and vigils also took place today in 100 communities across the country and in Italy. People in 200 cities held candlelight vigils, marches to mark the occasion of International Human Rights Day. Patti Smith's People Have the Power. You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. When we come back, military recruiter stations turn into peace recruiting stations. We'll be back in a moment.